the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
And I'm Pete Stoughton. Christina Sally is a longtime investigator with Summit County Attorney's Office. Christina has just released a new book for parents and children to open the conversation about recognizing the and talking about child abuse. The book is called I Know You and... Christina is followed by is joined by board member of the Children's Justice Center, Andrea Silver, to discuss the new center, how it helps children and families, and why she has written this new book. Welcome to The Mountain Life, ladies.
Thank you, Pete, for having us.
Thank you.
Sorry, a newbie on the board, so I just had to turn on your mic.
Okay, well, again, thank you for having us.
Wonderful, wonderful. And just let's go ahead for our audience who may not be familiar with the Children's Justice Center. What is the Children's Justice Center, and maybe not where it's located?
So thanks for asking, and Andrea and I will both sort of share in this since she's such a fundamental part of raising money for our new center. The Children's Justice Center is a child-friendly environment where children are interviewed after allegations or disclosures of child abuse or child maltreatment. So the Children's Justice Center, sometimes people think, oh, it must be some kind of punitive place because it has that word justice in it, but it's not. It's absolutely a very warm and welcoming home in which children and families can come to receive services from our multidisciplinary team. And we are really the first stop, so to speak, in the response to child maltreatment. Reports are made, they're cross-reported between law enforcement and the Division of Child and Family Services, and then we coordinate to have the children come to our center so that we can really provide a very coordinated response to that.
And it's a beautiful new building that I believe opened recently.
That's correct. So the facility opened the end of December. It is absolutely fabulous. We have had such great success in terms of welcoming families, having multiple people there at one time because we have the space for that, but also the fact that there's it's very large. And again, I mean, is all I can say is that it's so comforting and warm and welcoming.
The pictures of it are beautiful, and it really is a super welcoming place. If I were a child or anyone in those kind of circumstances, I definitely would want to find refuge and safety there. Joining us via online is Lynn, so she'll be also. Go ahead.
Good morning, Andrea and Christina, or Dr. Sally. You've been on fire, Dr. Sally. You went from all the way through this long education. You've recently completed your PhD in psychology. You're now a book author. And so while we want to talk about the work, the important work that you're doing in the community, we also have to give kudos to you for your accomplishments. And I sense that you are doing these things because you are just so compelled and so driven to make a difference for these children who have possibly and many times suffered abuse. I'm wondering, you started off as an investigator, and what was it that led you down this path of helping these children?
Well, first, Lynn, I just want to say thank you for your very kind words. So I have had a very long law enforcement career, close to 30 plus years. The beginning of my career was in the Oakland Bay Area in California as law enforcement. And when I came here, I started working for the prosecutor's office. And a lot of my work was around child maltreatment. And I've always had a passion about investigating child abuse and allegations of child abuse. And so working through higher education, doing research around child sexual abuse, and especially in the state of Utah, I felt very compelled to write a book. And that's also from my experience running my camp that I run every summer, which I've been doing for the last 8 years or so for 5 and 6 year olds. And the book is really an outpour from a puppet show that I wrote to try to educate kids that if when it may, it will most likely be somebody they know that may try to hurt them. But how do parents and caregivers have that very challenging conversation? And so this book is really meant to be a handbook, so to speak, to start having those discussions.
It's a really compelling topic. And I remember once when the Children's Justice Center was just in the early stages of trying to raise money and move out of your teeny tiny space, I think it was below the DMV or out at the Sheldon Richens building. You gave a tour, and we would go into these rooms where children would come in to be interviewed, most times by you. And it was the way that the room was set up. I don't know. I just left with the most haunting sort of feeling about the stories that were told in the walls of those rooms. And I can only imagine that the new center, and Andrea, maybe you want to speak to this, the new center has further fostered this feeling of comfort and security that these children can come and experience when they wouldn't otherwise feel safe and secure. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely, Lynn. One of the things was the Friends Board, which was formed only in like 2016, really wanted to help the CJC. They are not a 501c3, they're a state, you know, county partnership organization. So when we got together, we wanted to have a friendly place, a warm place, a secure place, a private place. Can you imagine going into that building at the DMV and running into somebody else that you knew that was going into the library? What a horror, you know? I mean, it's a very private situation. So a number of the board members, we went around to other CJCs to see what they had done. There are 23 CJCs in the state of Utah. It's all mandatory, you know, by the state. And we really did want a welcoming, wonderful place for the kids to be able to feel comfortable. So when this house, which is known as the Zebra House, came about, we said, what a perfect place. And we had wonderful help from architects, from decorators or whatever, create this so that we could really accomplish, you know, a great feeling. And it is so often that I see Christina and I see Ted, who's the director of the center, saying, you have no idea how this has made our jobs so much better, so much easier, so much more welcoming for families and for kids, that it thrills us that we were able to accomplish this and raise the money in almost less than a year. And then, of course, the retrofit took quite a while. But we were so proud of all of the cooperation that we got from the community and our donors to be able to really, you know, get this important center done.
What a beautiful location. And I'm hoping that you'll be able to bring back the zebras and the buffalo at some point in time. And many who have been here in the community recognize that location. And we're hoping and praying that that can be there for the kids, of course. But more importantly, for those who are new into our community, you know, they've left the East Coast, they've left Texas, they've left California, wherever you've been coming from. And there's this sense of Utah and Park City is this utopia. It's this perfect community. And to hear from you both that there is child abuse and that it's to a level and extent where there needs to be a Children's Justice Center is probably a little shock and awe right now. So Andrea, if you wouldn't mind, just kind of help our listeners understand why that need is here in this pristine, beautiful Park City.
Well, thanks, Pete. But as you said, it's not pristine for child abuse. Child abuse cuts across so all socioeconomic factors, whether it's educational, income, it does not make a difference, okay? And we see that We don't talk about numbers, you know, in the center. That's just not what we're about. But we all know that it's here. We know that abuse yields to abuse. If it was a friend, an outsider, an uncle, a teacher, or whatever, if a child is abused, they can, you know, be abused, which is where they can be the abuser, which is why it's so important to get these children, you know, treated at a very timely basis. So the Friends of the CJC, we have a big awareness push right now, because also child abuse requires mandatory reporting. And that's something that people don't know. Okay, if you see something, if you suspect something, if you hear it, you need to report it. Okay, and it can happen in whether, I don't care, it's a school, a supermarket, whether a teacher sees something, but statistically in this county, in this country, okay, child abuse is not segregated into a specific economic or educational category.
And I think that's what makes me so excited about this new book, is that your team is not just focused on response, but how important it is to be out in education. And as a former teacher, I just look at this book, and it is a beautiful book. I definitely would want to share it with my kids. And just talk to us a little bit, Christina, about the impetus for this book, and you use sea animals also.
Yes. So thank you, Pete, for your very kind words. And I have to really do a shout out for Lauren Nadler, the illustrator, excuse me, and publisher for this book. She was amazing to work with and saw my vision. So in doing research around what was out there to help educate kids around the very sensitive topic of child abuse, and also having parents come to me and ask me, how do I talk to my child about this? How do I talk to them about keeping their body safe, or what to do if I suspect that maybe somebody is maybe grooming my child or is maybe acting inappropriate with them, but how do you tell a child so that they're not completely fearful? So based on that, I read through every children's book I could find around the topic. And one of the things that I found was that they used maybe a specific character. Maybe it was a girl, or maybe it was a child of a certain ethnicity or race. And then the book may talk about, there was one book in particular that said a little girl didn't like to be around her uncle. Well, children can be very literal when you're trying to teach them at a very young age. And it's important to start having these conversations when kids, you know, when they're in their 4, 5, 6, when they start to understand the boundaries of the private parts of their body. And so I decided that I really needed to write a book that used something that was not that specific in terms of gender, race, ethnicity. So I decided to put it into sort of a sea setting or an ocean setting, which is how I what my puppet show was all about. So this, again, this was taken from my puppet show that I wrote and put it in the context so that it just fosters and helps facilitate a conversation that parents and caregivers can have with their kids. Oh, look what happened to Mina. What, you know, let's talk about who are your trusted adults. Who can you go and tell when you feel uncomfortable about something? Or if somebody wants to touch your body or wants you to touch theirs. And it just starts that conversation to get kids to be able to say, okay, I need to tell somebody. Because most predators that prey on children will use different methods to keep a child silent. So they will say, I'll give you things, or this is our secret, we have to keep it a secret, it's our game. I had one perpetrator tell he was sexually abusing his daughter, who was between the ages of 5 and 8, who said, the Ten Commandments say that you obey thy father. And so there's all different things that happen when somebody is perpetrating on a child. So this book allows the parent or caregiver to start that conversation to say, you know what, if it feels uncomfortable and doesn't feel right, you talk to your trusted adult. And then it helps identify. And with the book also, there's an activity book, and it's a coloring book so that kids can go through and work through, like, oh, here's my trusted adult, and they can identify that. And if that trusted adult doesn't listen or doesn't hear them, then they go to their next trusted adult. And they keep telling until one of their trusted adults helps them. Mm.
If you're just joining us on The Mountain Life, our guests are Andrea Silver, a board member of the Friends of the Children's Justice Center, and Dr. Christina Sally. She is a book author. She's the founder of the Children's Justice Center. Her new book is called I Know You and ... It's also been released in Spanish, Te Conozco y. And how wonderful that you also released it in Spanish. Of course, we have in our community a very large Spanish-speaking population. We also have a lot of dual immersion programs. So the young kids that are also learning Spanish or maybe already know Spanish can read it in Spanish. That's really great. I wanted to ask you, you know, we have such a hard time talking to our kids as it is. Let alone about really sensitive topics like this. We want our kids to know about stranger danger, but you don't want your children to be distrusting of everyone they don't know. I remember distinctly growing up, my mom said, never talk to strangers. And so my cousins and brother and I got this idea that a stranger is a really bad thing. So when we wanted to call each other names, we would call each other strangers. So, you know, and so like, it's very difficult to know how to talk to our kids about trusted adults. Give us some tips.
So, and that's a great question. We do. We have so much emphasis on stranger dangers. Don't talk to strangers. And Lynn, interestingly, at my camp, when I do my 5 days safety camp for kids that are around 5 and 6 years old, we do every day is a different safety topic, and then we come to keeping your body safe, and we do, we cover stranger danger, we cover a kind of what I call kind of knows, meaning people that you kind of know, maybe it's somebody that's a familiar face, and then there's the people that you know, and how to protect yourself when something feels uncomfortable and recognize it in your body. But we also have to talk to our children that if they're lost or separated from a trusted adult, they may have to talk to a stranger because they may have to find somebody to get help from. So it can be very confusing. So I do that in two different days. But to start the conversation is to talk about, okay, let's talk about your body. Let's identify the private parts of your body, and those only belong to you. And so, and then having a conversation about what it feels like in their body when they're scared or confused, because they'll recognize that feeling inside of them before they'll be able to really articulate it with words. And then that's their sign that they have to talk to a trusted adult. And maybe they're, nothing's happening or they're not being abused, but it gets them trained, so to speak, in being able to talk to their trusted adult, parent, caregiver, grandparent, teacher, to say, I feel uncomfortable when this happens. And so then they can continue that throughout all experiences that they have when they're very young. And that's why I wrote the book for such young age, so that those conversations can start, because it is challenging to talk to your children. You don't want to scare them. You don't want them to worry about anything. But the reality is, in Summit County, across the nation, that more than 90% of children that are abused by somebody that's known to them or known to the mm-hmm. family.
So difficult. A couple of years ago, there was a Park City Council meeting and you were there. And I think it was when you were in the, you know, beginning stages also of raising money for the new center. A parent got up and was talking about how she suspected that her young son had possibly been sexually abused, and because of these certain signs, but she wasn't sure. And what she was saying is, you know, it's so important that we have the Children's Justice Center and that it's robust and fully funded. And so I'm wondering, you know, like that mother, what are some of the signs? What may make you suspect?
So that's a great question, Lynn, and I certainly can't cover all of them. Sometimes it's very age dependent. So sometimes there's a change of grades, there's withdrawal, there's a child that's getting gifts from an unknown source, or they don't want to talk about it, or there's some secrecy going on, which can be common for teens anyway. But you know, a combination of all of these things. So gifts, somebody who seems to show an interest in the child that maybe isn't age appropriate. So this kind of ties into the grooming that some child predators will use to lure a child for abuse, that they'll try to gain their trust, the parent's trust, but that person may not have, the predator or potential predator may not have age-appropriate relationships themselves, but they want to spend time alone with the child. I worked a case in which the person who ended up preying on a child had wanted to sort of act as the father figure and would take the little girl on outings, I mean, by himself. And so that should have been a little bit of a red flag, just because he didn't have children of his own and he wanted to spend all of his time that he wasn't working with this child. Some other signs can be some physical signs, a child who maybe is touching themselves and cannot be distracted from that. You know, so they're really focused on that. It could be comments that they make. I did a class at a preschool and I had talked about identifying the private parts of their body, using the proper terminology. And a little girl raised her hand and said, no, it's okay when they touch you down there and you touch them down there. And so so obviously that was basically a disclosure. And we went into investigation. But there had been other comments that she had made that the teachers were concerned about. So I think that if there are some behaviors that I really encourage people to reach out to our Children's Justice Center.